Again, a very warm and a very sincere welcome to everyone that's come tonight. We are indeed so glad just to see the hall so well filled again on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night's normally our smallest night because of other activities on in the area. And we do appreciate those that have come tonight just to fill up the benches. And we know that everyone that's here tonight is here not just for the sake of being here. We know that God has brought us here, and we know that there's seeking souls in the meeting tonight. And we're really praying that those that are seeking Christ will truly find him. Because wherever there's a seeking sinner, there's a seeking Saviour. And we're glad about that. And we're really praying that those that have gathered tonight that are still out of Christ, that are still unsaved, we're really praying that before the meeting's finished that you will truly come into contact with the Lord Jesus. Just as this woman that we're going to read about, she came into contact with Christ. And we're really praying that folks would come into contact with the Lord Jesus tonight and just be wonderfully and gloriously saved, so that they can leave this building tonight rejoicing in the fact that their sins are forgiven, they've been made right with God. And heaven will be their destiny and their home for eternity. So it's great to see you tonight. We do appreciate you coming. And those that are coming every night, we do appreciate that very much indeed. And we trust the Lord will bless you again this evening. Now, tomorrow night, there'll be another meeting in the will of God at 8 o'clock. And we give you a warm invitation to join us then. And then there'll be no meeting on Friday or Saturday, but we take up the meetings again on Sunday night. And we'll be right through the following week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every night at 8 o'clock. And these meetings will just continue as the Lord would give us strength and as the Lord would lead us and guide us. We really feel there is an interest in the area that God is working. And we will just really just be before God just for his guidance as far as the length of this series of meetings. So I don't have any engagements and I'm free. And we're just really looking to God just to lead us and guide us as far as the meetings are concerned. So it's good to see you. If you're a Christian, keep on praying. We're involved in spiritual warfare, and the evil one's busy in so many different ways, and really pray that there might be a mighty breakthrough of God during these meetings, and that many would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Tomorrow night is the last night for the boys and girls. It's 6:15 tomorrow night. We'll have the prize given with the boys and girls. There's been maybe around a dozen or so children coming every night and listening well. And that the seed has been sown into their young minds as well. And tomorrow night we'll have the final meeting with the boys and girls. Now I just want to read some verses again in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel this time. Sorry for the confusion last night. I did get a row when I went home. I think I must have said Matthew instead of Mark. But it's Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, and we're still in chapter 5. Mark's Gospel chapter 5. Mark's Gospel chapter 5. And we'll commence our reading at verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship, and unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press or she came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and seest thou who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her daughter, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now again, we just look to God to bless the reading of his word and to give help as we seek to preach the gospel for a few moments tonight. We've really been seeing in Mark's gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ is the man for all seasons. We've been seeing that he's really the man for all people in all types of need. We've been noticing that he's the friend of sinners. He's the one that draws near to people at the very extremity of their life's experience and he meets their need and he transforms them completely. And we've been seeing night by night that the Jesus of the New Testament, the Jesus of the Gospel, he's the same yesterday, today and forever. He never changes. The Lord Jesus Christ is still interested in men and women and young people in need. He's still interested in those that have come to the very extremity of their experience, have come to an end of themselves. The Lord Jesus Christ is still available to change, to save, to cleanse, to make anew. Someone has said that man's extremity is God's opportunity. And maybe you're at the extremity of lifetime. Maybe things for a long time have been getting you down and wearying you and troubling you and burdening you. And maybe tonight you're right at the end. Praise God for that. Because man's extremity is God's opportunity. You see, oftentimes the human heart is so proud and so stubborn. And the human makeup is such that we like to be independent and self-reliant. And we like to use our ingenuity and all our own resources to get ourselves out of all our troubles. Sometimes God's got to take dealings in our life to strip everything away until we come to the very end of ourselves. And it's then that God can speak to us. It's then that God can step in. The moment of our extremity is the moment of God's opportunity. The moment when God can come in. And God can make a difference as we cast ourselves unreservedly in faith. Damn. And that's really the story we have in these two incidents that we read about in Mark's Gospel chapter 5. We read about two individuals that had just come to the end. And they were facing circumstances that they had no answer for, and no one else had an answer for. They were right at the end. And praise God, in the midst of their need, in the midst of their extremity, they sought Christ. And they found him, and he made a difference. I wonder, are you right at the end? Maybe you've been running for years, trying to escape the circumstances of life that have encroached into your life. You've been running, and you've been chasing, and you've been going here and there, and you've tried this, and you've tried that, and everything's failed. And your life's a mess, and you're right at the end. Praise God, it's right at the end that you can find Christ. You might be sunk right in a deep pit tonight. A pit of misery, a pit of oppression. A pit of trials and troubles and sorrows and burdens. My friend, I want to tell you there's no pit enough that the hand of the blessed Saviour can't reach in. There's no depth that any soul can sink to that is too deep for the hand of the Lord Jesus to stretch down and to rescue and deliver and save. I don't care where you are tonight in the experience of life. I don't know. I don't care how far down you've gone. I don't care, my friend, how deep and desperate your need is. The Saviour can meet it tonight. The Saviour can meet it tonight. And he's just ready. And he's just waiting for you to cry out in your need to him. And he'll respond. And the blessing of salvation will be yours. The first individual that comes to the Lord Jesus was a religious man. A religious man. He was actually the ruler of the synagogue. This man didn't just pay sort of lip service to his religion, the religion he'd been brought up. No, he was steeped in it. And every Sabbath would have found him in the synagogue with his scrolls in his hand, and he would read the Old Testament scriptures, and he would expound them to those that sat before him. Steeped in his religion. And suddenly he finds himself in a situation where he realized that he needed more than religion. And he needed more than a synagogue. There came a point in his life when he realized he needed Christ. He needed the Savior. I wonder, my friend, you might be in the meeting, and maybe you're religious. And maybe you've been brought up in a particular church, in a particular denomination, and you've stuck to that right down through the years, and you've religiously gone to services, and you've religiously read your Bible, and you've religiously said your prayers. But maybe you're facing a situation tonight, and you know that your religion's not enough. And you know that even your knowledge of the Bible is not enough. You know deep down within your heart that you need Christ in your heart and you need Christ in your life. You need Christ as your Saviour. The extreme circumstances that this man was facing was simply that his little girl of 12 years of age was dying. I can't imagine the thoughts that must have been going through his head. I can't imagine the feelings that must have been breaking his heart. His little girl, 12 years of age, and she was dying. He was going to need more than religion, wasn't he? He was going to need more than a few prayers. My friend, he was going to need Christ. And you see, my friend, when you face death, whether it's your own death or the death of a loved one round about you, I want to tell you, my friend, you're going to need more than your church. And you're going to need more than your religion. And you're going to need more than just your knowledge of the Word of God. My friend, when death comes, you're going to need the Savior. I wonder, have you ever found them? Have you ever come into contact with the Lord Jesus? And do you have that assurance that when death comes, that He'll be there for you? To take you through the dark valley. To take you safe there. My friend, I tell you, when you're faced with death, you're going to need more than a religion and more than a church. You're going to need Christ. The one that has conquered death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You're going to need Christ. You can find Him tonight. I noticed that this man had various barriers that he had to get over before he could get to Christ. He had to get over his prejudices and he had to get over his pride. That's maybe your problem thing. Maybe that's why you've never really got through to Christ. It's because of your prejudices and because of your pride. You see, this man was a ruler of the synagogue. He was part of the religious hierarchy among the Jews. And at this time, there was a tremendous roll of opinion against the Lord Jesus. Amongst the religious hierarchy, they were plotting his death. They were scheming and plotting how they could get rid of this man called Jesus. And that was the background that Jairus was living in. No doubt after the Sabbath services in the synagogue, those religious leaders would mingle in a little crowd and the topic of their conversation was Jesus. And he would listen to the hatred and the venom in their words as they spoke of Jesus. And yet here he faces a circumstance in his life when he realizes that he needs him. He realizes that the Lord Jesus is going to be the only answer. And he's got to overcome all his prejudices and he's got to come humbly to him. Maybe you're going to have to go over some of your religious prejudices tonight to get to Christ. I praise God, the man got over the barrier of prejudice and he got over the barrier of his pride. I wonder, is it pride that's keeping you back tonight? You see, when this man really came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he really had to come as a beggar. He really had to come confessing before the Lord Jesus, "Look, Lord, I really need you. And unless you intervene in the circumstances of my life, I'm finished. I've got nothing. I need you." It's difficult to come to that point, isn't it? Just to be stripped of all our own resources and just to come to a point where we say, "Look, I've got nothing. I'm totally weak and I'm helpless and I'm without hope. And Lord, I need you. You're my only hope. And I cry out to you. I beg you to meet my need." There's no proud people in heaven, you know. How could there be? Because everyone that's going to populate a mansion in heaven has come to a point in their life when they've realised that Christ was their only hope, and in their desperate need they cried out to him and says, "Lord, I need you." Is that the big barrier that you're still to go over tonight? The barrier of your pride? Still think you can work out the mess of your life on your own? Still think you can sort it out? Still think you can piece all the broken bits together? Still think you can make a go of it? Still think that you and yourself are good enough for God and good enough for heaven? My friend, I want to tell you, you're no good enough for God and you're not good enough for heaven. None of us are. And we can never piece our broken lives together in our own strength. We need the Saviour. We know that sooner or later we would come to that point. When we just come as poor, bankrupt, needy souls to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, save me, Lord, help me, Lord, deliver me, Lord, I need you. I noticed the Lord Jesus responded to that. There's a man in all his brokenness of spirit and all the humility of his heart, and the Lord sees him and the Lord responds. The Lord always responds to humility. The Lord always responds to brokenness. Well, he hates pride. In the book of the Proverbs, there's a wise man. It was the wise man Solomon that wrote the book of the Proverbs, and he said there are seven things that God hates. Right at the top, a proud look. It's interesting, eh? You might think God hates drug addiction. So he does. God hates alcoholism. God hates immorality. God hates adultery. Yes, he hates all these things and selfishness and greed and lust. But right at the top, he hates pride. I'll tell you one thing. I've seen a lot more pride in religious people than I have in the drug addicts and the alcoholics. My friend, there are millions in hell tonight, and the thing that kept them out of heaven was their pride. They were too proud to admit that they needed Christ. I wonder what's going to keep you into hell tonight. Will it be your pride? Ah, praise God, this man got over the barrier of his prejudices and over the barrier of his pride, and he got right down to the feet of the Lord Jesus, and he begged him, and the Lord responded, because the Lord always responds to the broken and the contrite heart. He'll never despise that. Men might despise that. But I want to tell you, Christ never despises that. He never despises the man that comes in all his desperate need and just says, I'm a poor, bankrupt sinner and I need you. I need you. And the Lord starts walking down the street, man. You can imagine the tremendous delight in his heart. The Lord was coming to meet his need. And suddenly there's an intervention and there's a woman. And I praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ can meet the needs of all men and all women at all times. And yes, he's not unmindful of the man's need, and he's going to meet the man's need in the little home. But you know, there's another soul comes in. The Bible tells us he had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had a dreadful disease that every day was just weakening her and weakening her and weakening her and just taking her to an early grave. That's just like sin, isn't it? That's the disease that's in all our hearts. Sin saps the strength from us. Just makes us weaker and weaker by the day. Just hastens us on to the day of our death, because the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. Why we die, because of sin. I noticed that this woman was concerned about her disease. I wonder, are you concerned about your sin today? Well, I know you're concerned about your problems. But I'm not asking if you're concerned about your problems today. I'm asking if you're concerned about your sin, because that's your biggest problem. You might be saying, you know, I've hardly enough money to get me through to the next gyro. And you might be saying tonight, my life's in a bit of a mess and I don't go on with the neighbours and there's this problem and there's that problem. I know there's a million problems. But the problem of sin's the big problem. I wonder if you're concerned about the problem of your sin tonight. Because it's your sin that separates you from God. It's your sin that will take you down to the lost eternity. The biggest problem, sin tonight. And she was concerned about it. She was so concerned that she would try everything to get rid of it. She was so concerned about this problem, this disease, that she would try everything. She'd gone to every doctor that she could think of in the area. She'd been to all the physicians, all the real ones and all the quack ones. She'd been to them all. So much so that she'd spent every penny that she had. She was desperate. I wonder, are you desperate tonight to get rid of the problem of your sin, to get the problem of your sin? Are you desperate tonight? Because I'll tell you something, you'll never get God's salvation until you're desperate. And the Bible says, there she was and she spent all her money. I think it's Luke that says, no, just that she didn't get better. Luke says she couldn't get better. She couldn't get better. There just wasn't a cure for it. Maybe you've been trying to get rid of your sins. Maybe you've been trying to be good. And maybe you've been trying to go to church and maybe even you're trying to come to these meetings and you're like, my friend, I want to tell you, all these things are good, but these things in itself are not going to get rid of your sin. It's only Christ. It's only Christ that can deal with it. It's only Christ that can cleanse you from your sin. It's only Christ that can forgive you. My friend, it doesn't matter what else you try, you'll just find you like this woman that you just can't eat any better. You just can't. There's no other solution, there's no other cure but Christ. And I tell you, if Jairus got low in the presence of the Lord Jesus, I think this woman got even lower. Because the Bible tells us, Matthew tells us, that when she touched the clothes of the Lord Jesus, she touched the hem of his garment. That's how low she was. That she was right down on the ground, she was prostrate on the ground, and all the crowd were round about her. But you know, it didn't matter who else was there, or what else was there. You know, it was just between her and she needed Christ. She wasn't too concerned about her neighbours looking on. Maybe that's what you're concerned about tonight. What my friends say, what the neighbours say, what my partner say. I said, this woman wasn't concerned about any of these things. The sense of need within her heart just drove her to the very feet of the Lord Jesus to grasp the hem of his garment. What if someone would be so desperate tonight that they would just forget about everybody else and forget about everything else, and right tonight they would just lay hold and faith in Christ. You see, she touched the hem of his garment. She grasped it. That's the idea. Wasn't it just a touch? She grasped it. Our only hope. I think, Christ, your only hope here. I don't know a thing about dressmaking. Apart from the fact that when a seamstress, when she sews up the hem, it's an indication that the garment's finished. It's finished, it's complete, there's nothing else to be done. That's the last thing that's done when the hem is sewn up. It's finished! That's what she grasped. She grasped the hem of his garment, that which spoke of a finished, completed work. Seeing as when I was a wee boy, 9 years of age, I realised there was a needy sinner. I realised I needed Jesus Christ in my life because I was lost and going to hell. And as a wee boy of 9 in faith, I just rested everything in the value of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Finished, Christ cried when in Calvary he died. So it's done, done, done. The work has been done to provide salvation for poor, desperate, needy sinners. It's been done at Calvary. It's perfect. It's complete. There's nothing else to do but rest in faith on what he's done at the cross. That's what I did when I was just a wee boy tonight. My friend, you can do that tonight just as you sit in your seat. I was in a wee back bedroom in a council house in 41 Morven Avenue, Kilmarnock. I just got down to the side of my bed and I just trusted Christ as my Saviour, believing that when he died on the cross, he was dying for me. I need no other argument tonight. I need no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died. And that he died for me, and as a wee boy and him, I just rested in faith in what Jesus Christ had done for me at Calvary. The work was finished, and I rested in that. You're going to rest on that. Just rest by faith on the value of what the Lord has done. He loved you so much that he entered into death for you, shedding his blood for the cleansing of your sin, and he wants you just by faith, just to rest your all there. And through faith on the finished work of Christ, my friend, you can come into the blessing of life eternal tonight. I noticed this all happened in private. It was just her and him. It was just her and him. There wasn't anybody else. Well, there was a multitude of people, but ultimately, it was just her and him. And she touched him in faith, and he knew, and he responded. My friend, you don't need to wait till the end of the meeting tonight to speak to the preacher or to speak to any of the Christians. You see, ultimately, it's just between you and him. It's just between you and Christ. It's just between you and the Saviour, just where you sit. And if you're broken time, and you're desperate, and you're conscious that you're a poor, lost, needy soul, and that Christ the answer, then tonight, my friend, just where you are, just rest by faith on what Christ has done on the cross, and He'll meet your need just between you and Him. And He, my friend, just as you sit in your seat tonight, if you just say, Jesus, I will trust you. Trust you with my soul. I'm guilty. I'm lost and I'm helpless. But you can make me whole. If you cry that from your heart tonight, just where you sit, you'll know and He'll know. You'll know that you've cried out in faith and He'll know. And He'll respond and He'll save you. And He'll cleanse you. And He'll make you your own. His own for you. You see, my friend, there were many that were thronging around Christ. But there was only one that really touched this. There was many who were near to Christ, but there was only one that got through to Christ. My friend, there's many in the meeting. And the Lord's here. There's many of us that are near to Him. I wonder, are you going to get through to Him? Are you going to be like this dear woman and all your desperate need, just to cry out, just to reach out and faith to Him? And just rest your all in the value of the work that He did for you on the cross at Calvary. My friend, you trust Him tonight and you'll know and He'll know. And there'll be a blessing in your heart and there'll be delight in His heart. But the Lord Jesus is who touched me? And the disciple says, Lord, what do you mean, who touched you? The multitudes are pressing all around you. I said, there was somebody touched me. There was somebody that touched me. And the woman knew that she couldn't be hid, and she came out and she told exactly, before the Lord and before all the people, she told them exactly what happened. And why she touched him. You see, what does take place in private between the Lord and a poor individual sinner, it has got to come out in the open. And you read through the Acts of the Apostles and you'll discover that the way it came out in the open was that those that were saved by faith in the Lord Jesus, that were baptized, that were come out in the open. And they were saying, listen, I want everyone to know that I've trusted Christ. I want everyone to know that He's changed my life. I want everyone to know that He's my Lord and He's Master, that I cried out in my need to Him and He's met my need and He's changed me and I'm His forever. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and maybe you've trusted the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're saved. He's met you in your need. And He's saying, hey, who's touched me? Who's touched me? And He maybe wants you to make a public confession. He wants you to be baptized. He wants you to be identified with Him and His death and His burial and His resurrection to make a declaration that I've cried out to Christ and He heard me and He met my need. I noticed that little touch of faith, it really brought that woman into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus looked at her and says, Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Daughter. He didn't say, lady, woman, madam. He says, daughter. That's a word of relationship, isn't it? You see, there's only two people in the whole wide world that I can call daughter because they're mine. They're my children. They're my girls. They were born into my family. They're mine. And I can look upon them. And because of the relationship, I can call them daughter. Same family. Mine. That's how the Lord Jesus refers to this lady. He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. You see, that touch of faith brought her into a family relationship with Christ. Brought her into God's family. I think that's why it's so thrilling to be a Christian. It's not just a case of getting our sins forgiven and being assured of a home in heaven and escaping the flames of judgment and hell, but it's been brought into the very family of God when we can share in all the family blessings and the family riches. And my friend, all that can be yours. You can be brought into God's family by simple faith, resting all on the value of the work of Christ on the cross. I noticed something else, that when she touched the Lord Jesus, there was something went from Him to her. He says, virtue has gone out of me, power has gone out of me. And the minute she touched Christ in faith, there was something transferred from the Lord Jesus to her. The Lord Jesus says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. I impart it to them. Eternal life is his life. Peter speaks about the believers being partakers of the divine nature. John talks about us being possessors of divine life. The life of God in Christ is ours as believers. Received at any moment, imparted at any moment we believed in Christ. You see, Bible Christianity is not a religion. It's about having a personal family relationship with Jesus Christ and with his Father in heaven, the Almighty God of creation. And it's about possessing the very nature and the very life of God through faith. Oh my friend, I tell you, the very moment you reach out to Christ in faith, the minute you rest in the value of his work at Calvary, that very moment, not only will your sins be forgiven, not only will you be brought into God's family, but that very moment, you will become a possessor of eternal life. The very life of God. The life that was manifest in the person of the Lord Jesus as he walked amongst men. John says concerning the Lord Jesus, and out of his fullness have all we received in grace upon grace. My friend, I don't have time tonight, and I don't have the ability tonight, and the capacity to expound to you all the blessings that become ours the very moment we rest in faith in what Christ did. Calvary. Are you at the entering? Are you at the end? Are you at the extremity of experience? Are you conscious tonight that you're a poor, lost, guilty soul? With nowhere to turn, turn to Christ then. He'll meet you in your need. And he can do so because of the value of his finished work at the cross of Calvary. Trust him tonight. Lay hold on him in faith just where you sit. My friend, if you trust him tonight, you'll know and he'll know. And there'll be a blessing and a delight in your heart now and forever this day. Our gracious Father, again we just commit the words spoken to thee, the words that were read earlier on and the words that have been preached. We just leave it over thee. If there's anything of God that has been said just purely out of the impulse of the flesh, then we just pray that we take that away. For that of God which has been of the Spirit, just impress it upon every heart. And we do pray that those that are with us tonight, still unsaved, still lost, still guilty, still condemned, oh God, take dealings in their life, we pray, in mercy and in grace. And just bring them to that point when they realise the desperate plight that they're in, and that by faith they would just rest at all on the value of what the Lord Jesus has done for them at the cross. Oh God, take glory to thy name tonight. Honour thy blessed Son through thy Spirit, bringing men and women and young people to that personal faith in the Lord Jesus. We ask these things in his own precious name.